Good morning, region of Kitchener-Waterloo, just after 10 o'clock here Friday, January 5th, super cold out. You are listening to a special edition of My Audio Face with Mr. K, right here on CKMS 102.7. Have you heard of Jumbo, the elephant superstar? If you haven't, this is your chance. We are blessed to have with us writer and director Christine Nielsen. Good morning, Christine.
Hello, Kevin. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, although I am absolutely frozen. How about you?
Me too.
Every day this week, I've had something I'm supposed to go do sort of outside, and every morning I go, I think I'll wait another day and it'll be warmer.
Yes, it's a much better week to stay in front of a fire, if that's possible.
I'm hoping, I don't know if the worst is today. I think for our region today and tomorrow, we're supposed to be the coldest. So I'm hoping it warms back up. We'll see.
Absolutely. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. So you have written and directed a pretty interesting documentary that is going to air Sunday night on CBC. It's called Jumbo, The Life of an Elephant Superstar. So who's Jumbo?
Jumbo was the most famous animal that ever lived. He certainly was the most famous animal in his day. He was the world's first animal superstar, the star of Barnum's circus, also the star of the London Zoo in the mid to late 1800s.
And London, in this case, London, England.
Yes.
Okay. And because I asked that because, of course, I'll let you tell us, but there is sort of a London-ish Ontario connection to Jumbo. Now, before we go there, how did you get involved? What would make somebody like yourself, who's done a ton of different projects, including some award-winning documentaries, would get you to do this?
Well, the person who initially sparked all of our interest in this was Sir David Attenborough, the Sir David Attenborough, who's had a lifelong fascination with Jumbo. So when the producers found out that he was interested in getting access to Jumbo's bones, which have been hidden away at the American Museum of Natural History for decades, and I learned that it might be possible to get scientists in to analyze those bones, obviously that's the kind of story that's very hard to turn down. There's mystery, there's history, there's science, and there's an amazing central character, Jumbo. So it really was it was a no-brainer for me. I had to do it.
Wow. And so how long from that point when you realized, okay, this looks like we can get access and we can do this, how long was that entire process till you had everything on film?
Well, it took the producers quite a long time to negotiate the access, because as you can imagine, Jumbo was not only he is the most famous specimen that the American Museum of Natural History has, but they also have all kinds of rules and regulations about what you can do, and going in and drilling into one of your prime specimen's bones is it's irregular, shall we say. So that took time. But then there was another phase where, in order to do the DNA analysis and the isotope analysis, we had to get tiny samples of Jumbo's bones out of New York and get them to Canada, to the ancient DNA lab at McMaster University, and also to England, to the University of Nottingham, where the isotope analysis was done. Mm-hmm. And what we hadn't anticipated was the amount of paperwork and the amount of people that had to be talked to move those samples, because they are governed by the same laws as the ivory trade, even though Jumbo's been dead for well over a century.
Oh, wow. Yeah, these are things I'm sure nobody would think of, so it's definitely not as simple as hitting the border and filling out that little card that we get.
No.
You can't say, I've got some...
I actually went back to look at how long it took, and it took about 2 months, and there were literally thousands of emails and phone calls just to get those samples to the labs where they then could be analyzed.
Amazing. And I guess I can imagine too, it's not like anything I'm sure a lot of it would fit into non-standard boxes. It's not like, yeah, what's the purpose? Well, we're going to do some ancient DNA testing. It's probably not on their regular box.
It's not the language of your standard customs official.
No. So, well, you know, so good perseverance to get that through. Now, and I don't, of course, not to forget that the documentary itself is going to be airing on CBC this Sunday, so in 2 days at, just help me with the time.
At 8 p.m. on CBC The Nature of Things, but yeah. It also goes online this afternoon at 3 p.m., so people can see it either way.
Oh, good. Okay, so if they want to see it online, would they go to cbc.ca for the online?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so cbc.ca as of 3 this afternoon, so that's great timing, so... those that don't want to wait, you've got an early peek, and then Sunday with David Suzuki on The Nature of Things, 8 p.m. Eastern. So I don't want to give away, of course, the whole story. We want folks to sort of experience the story in its entirety. But in one of the references that I've been reading, at some point, Jumbo does end up in our part of the world here. So how, and just for reference again, how much does Jumbo weigh? And we're talking 1800s, so we don't have the technology to move things the way we do today, do we?
No, well, Jumbo is huge. He was 3.2 meters tall, which was large even for an African elephant of his age. So, yes, you can imagine transporting him around was quite something. He was transported along with all the other circus acts by train because when he came to America, as we discussed, he was part of P.T. Barnum's circus. So the train came to St. Thomas, Ontario in September 1885 to do a performance. St. Thomas was the perfect place for a circus stop because lots of rail lines converged in that city at the time. So, yes, so that's where Jumbo was on the night of his terrible demise, as people in that area are very familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Which is, yeah, we're talking, yeah, literally 100 and almost 150 years, 142, 43, from what I'm reading.
Yes, it's almost 1.5 centuries.
Which is, yeah, so, wow. So, I mean, it's a little mind-boggling to try and even think of it other than in today's terms. I mean, I can't, thankfully, I cannot imagine something of that, you know, scale happening today. Hopefully we have learned some things around animal care in the 100 and some years since.
Yes, that was actually one of the uplifting parts of making this documentary. There are obviously a lot of sad and tragic elements to Jumbo's story, but it was really a reminder that while we still have a lot to learn, we really have learned a lot in the century plus since Jumbo died. We've learned a lot about elephants.
Mm. So that's good. So that's one of the takeaways that folks hopefully will get from the story. So I'm definitely looking forward to the launch this afternoon on cbc.ca, and for everybody else that isn't going to watch it online, it will be on CBC The Nature of Things, 8 p.m. this Sunday. Any final thoughts or anything else that I may not have thought to ask you, Christine?
Well, I think it's quite extraordinary for so many things to come together in a documentary, for us to be able to get access to the remains of such a famous animal. Oh, and we didn't even talk about his tail. We also got access to his tail, which is not property of the American Museum of Natural History. It's actually been stored at Tufts University in Massachusetts, because when Jumbo, this is really interesting, when Jumbo died, his skeleton went to the American Museum of Natural History, but his hide was stuffed.
Oh.
Sent to Tufts University, where to this day Jumbo is still the mascot. So they have the tail. They don't have the stuffed hide anymore because it burned in a fire in the 70s. But they still have this precious tail, which they allowed us to analyze, to do stable isotope analysis on it, and it revealed something quite extraordinary about Jumbo's last months on this planet, which I won't tell you now, but it's interesting.
Okay, so that's one more, yes. And I mean, it's that I think is almost the whole, you know, the complexity behind bringing some like this together is certainly it's not apparent at first. So anybody that might be thinking, oh, this is just a story about an elephant. Yeah, it's a story about an elephant, but there's layers and layers here. And you've just added one more very intriguing one for us to end on. So his tail, you're saying, was kept and still is kept completely separate in Massachusetts. With your work, you were able to find something out that we'll find out in the show.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, and I will say, you know, anyone who thinks, oh, yeah, it's just going to be a story about a circus elephant, it really isn't. It's a very, very layered story, and it tells us a lot about elephants, and it also tells us quite a lot about people then and now.
Exactly. I think that's an important piece. Thank you so much, Christine Nielsen, writer and director of Jumbo, The Life of an Elephant Superstar, On the Nature of Things, this Sunday at 8 p.m. on CBC, and available online after 3 p.m. today at cbc.ca. Have a great morning, Christine.
You too. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
And that concludes our special edition of My Audio Face for Friday. I leave you going out with some Metalord, and we welcome very shortly the Bollywood Mix, which will be running on Fridays at 10 p.m. from this point forward. Thank you very much. I wish you a great morning.
And then-